And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one, I'm talking about this one. I do mean this one, Alabama. Y'all, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi all thrown in just for good measure. Hey, before we go to JP with sports, I got to remind you guys. So Inspire Advisors is one of our newest sponsors. And Inspire Advisors is like epic cool at what they do. So a lot of y'all out there, I mean, you're the kind of people, I know this audience, you're the kind of people that stand up for what you believe in. A lot of you are also doing what you can to set aside for your future, for your retirement maybe. You may be shocked to find out that some of the companies you're investing in may actually be supporting things you don't stand for. Heck of a thing when you find out your portfolio has companies that support abortion or human trafficking issues or, you know, pornography or whatever. Well, Paul Breyer and his team at Inspire Advisors, they are specialists in the field of what's known as biblically responsible investing, BRI. Look, I mean, they can literally help you raise up your bottom line, get it like dollar signs are flowing, but at the same time, investing in things that you really feel good about. And they can take a look at what you've got for free. They can actually sit down with you in person for free and take a look at your portfolio and advise you on some things you might want to be aware of and maybe even some biblically aligned alternatives. So if you want to know more about biblically responsible investing, Inspire Advisors, Paul Breyer and his team, and how to get together with them for free, no upsell, just for free, and talk it through, they can do that. Go to their website, www.moneypatternwealth.com. That's moneypatternwealth.com. Or just too easy, go to our website, rightsidemedia.org. Click on the Right Side Radio Sponsors tab, and their logo takes you right to their website. Yeah, this is like godly, conservative financial freedom. Check them out. Inspire Advisors. That's who it is. All right, listen, you hear him all the time on the Dale Jackson Show on WVNN, our affiliate that we're with up in the Huntsville area. And then he also has his own show right now on the UMP on Saturday mornings called Off the Bench. And JP, we're going to lighten the mood up. This is a heavy show. We got some heavy topics. Let's go ahead and talk about some JP on sports right now. JP, how you doing, man?
Hey, what's up? How are y'all doing today?
We are good, brother. Listen, week one officially happened. I mean, like, no more of this week zero stuff. It was the real season. So just give us the highs and the lows. What'd you see?
Well, I have to start off with, I'm afraid I may have lost all credibility here because we had Yappy on as our guest picker, and he beat both me and my co-host in the picks. So I told Yappy today we may just have to give him the show because he's obviously the sports expert. But
was he throwing darts at a board, or was he really picking like with knowledge?
Well, he told me after, he said, I just picked the teams that were ranked higher. And I was like, of course.
He picked the pretty uniforms. He liked that uniform better than that uniform.
He had the chalkiest picks. But one of the reasons that he beat me is because I picked Florida to beat Miami. And, yeah, you know, coming into this, I heard all about Florida's schedule, and they have one of the hardest schedules I've ever seen, ever. But I thought still they had a good team. They had a decent, you know, decent athletes. I thought Graham Mertz, their quarterback, was going to be pretty decent. And it was at the Swamp, so I figured Florida would be able to pull this one off. I wasn't big on Cam Ward, Miami's quarterback, but, man, they rolled into Gainesville and just dog-stomped Florida. Like, it was ugly. Cam Ward is looking like a Heisman front runner right now for Miami. He diced Florida's defense up. Florida couldn't get anything going on offense, and it was bad. So I feel pretty embarrassed that I went on the wing for that one. But
well, did you at least pick on Dale Jackson this morning about it, though?
He made fun of me for picking Florida, and he's a Florida fan. So I think that tells you how bad it is. But you know, coming into this, Billy Napier, his hot seat, the Florida head coach, it was hot, and after this week, it gets on fire because you know Florida's used to winning. They're a traditional program, and they've had to deal with 3 years of mediocrity and with a hard schedule ahead. And he can't win, you know, those type of games at home. If this continues, this could be his last year.
All right. What else you got?
Well, and then last night we have Florida State looking to bounce back after a rough week zero against Georgia Tech over in Ireland. And they were still ranked number 10 because they hadn't, you know, done the new AP poll yet. So they took two losses at number 10 to unranked teams. And, you know, I was telling people this Boston College team is not bad. You know, they have Bill O'Brien, who's a seasoned veteran coach. He was an OC at Alabama a couple years ago. And they had a good quarterback, a UCF transfer, Tommy Castellanos, who threw for 2,500 yards last year, ran for 1,000. So he was really a good dual threat quarterback. And it was, Florida State just looked really, really bad. Uiagalelei, Florida State's quarterback, he couldn't hit anything. Their Boston College was getting to him every time. Florida State's O-line couldn't hold up anything. And they couldn't pressure Boston College's quarterback. So it was, you know, they've been touting that they have a great defensive line, and it did not show up last night. So
there was no joy in the state of Florida is what you're telling me.
No, both sides. But it looks like Miami is the king of Florida right now. They look like they could be very good.
That's true. Miami, yeah. That's right, yeah. All right, man. And by the way, maybe this is not on your list, but maybe it is. LSU, what?
Yeah. Well, I think this was their fifth year in a row losing the season opener. And, you know, they were all close games, so, and they bounced back to have pretty decent season last year after losing the home opener. So, you know, they could still have a good season this year. They had some good moments. You know, their new quarterback looked pretty decent, but what I took away from it was USC's quarterback was, you know, Caleb Williams' backup last year. He looked really good. He brought the juice, and you know, everybody was bashing USC's defense, myself included. And they brought in a new defensive coordinator who, you know, the defense looked much improved. It looked much more aggressive. So USC could be a dark horse, and Lincoln Riley could be looking to shut up all the doubters, and myself included.
Man,
I've been a Lincoln Riley doubter for a while, but this USC team has potential, so we'll see how it goes.
Okay, all right. So bring it home to the state of Alabama. What do you think about Bama and Auburn? I mean, granted, they didn't have hard openers, but man, they ran the boards.
Yeah, well, I'll start off with Bama because Auburn wasn't even on TV for me to watch. So I'll have to go off what I heard and the stats that I saw. But from watching the Bama game, you know, first of all, I talked on this show last week about Ryan Williams, the freshman out of Saraland, Alabama, and how I thought he could be really good. And how about this as a stat line? He had two catches for 139 yards for two touchdowns in the game. He was MVP freshman of the week. He looks like he could be Alabama's wide receiver one coming into the season, and he's 17 years old. He's not even 18 yet, and he's already proven to be, you know, one of the best options for Jalen Milroe in this Alabama offense.
I mean,
and other than that, the defense looked really good.
If I can mix my metaphors, the football guy is batting 1,000 right now, so that's pretty good.
Yeah, well, other than losing to Yaffe, so yeah, that's kind of embarrassing. But the new defense under the 4-2-5, which is what Kane Womack runs, is a different look for Alabama, who under Saban ran a 4-3 most of his tenure there. It looked very different, but it looked very effective. So we'll see how this, you know, continues on. If this 4-2-5 can prove to be well, they had some good turnovers, and Kane Womack even after the game said there wasn't enough turnovers. So we'll see how this defense can rattle opposing quarterbacks. It looks like they have the potential to do so.
All right, go Auburn. What do you think?
I know. I heard Auburn's receivers, which I expected, were difference makers. You know, Cam Coleman and Perry Thompson, two freshmen. They're, you know, Auburn really needed to upgrade the receiver position, and it looks like they were very explosive in the first game. Jarquez Hunter, I heard, had a good game. The running back defense looked solid. You know, it's hard to tell much from Alabama A&M, but if Peyton Thorne can continue to just get the ball to his good receivers, you know, like I said last week, he just needs to be a game manager. He doesn't have to do anything special on his feet, doesn't have to do anything miraculous. Just get the ball to your playmakers like he did in Alabama A&M, it sounds like. I think Auburn could be pretty good this year.
I got to ask you, are you going from notes right now, or is this all off the top of your head?
Not as off the top of my head.
What? Okay. All right. That's solid. All right. So before we hit the break, and if you can hang on during the break, we'll come back and do a second segment. But before we hit the break, besides your loss to Yaffe, was there anything that you look at and go, wow, that was not on my bingo card. I did not see that coming.
You know, I was surprised by Notre Dame. They went into Texas A&M. I had Texas A&M winning. Riley Leonard, the Duke transfer on Notre Dame, looked really solid. You know, Notre Dame has struggled to, you know, win the big game lately. And I thought they would be rattled week one going into a hostile environment in College Station. And they looked really good. Their defense looked solid. They lived up to the hype. Everybody was talking about how good their defense would be, and they proved it. So if Riley Leonard can continue to play how he played against A&M, good throwing and on the feet, I think Notre Dame could potentially be one of the four byes in the playoffs, because I don't think they have a very hard schedule. And Riley Leonard beat his former coach at Duke, who is an A&M coach now. So that was a fun storyline going into that. But, yeah, I was very surprised Notre Dame lived up to the hype.
All right. Wow. Okay. We just ran the gamut on that one. But I tell you what, dude. I got to tell you, John from Huntsville, who I think he probably calls into your show too on Saturdays.
He texted in yesterday.
Yeah. He just said, tell JP did a great job hosting off the bench, but let him know he needs to do a better job picking because the Florida Miami thing didn't go the way he said it went. But then he wants to know who's going to be your guest picker this Saturday. Do you have a guest picker?
We have not figured it out yet. We're still hunting. You know, if both Dale and Yaffe wanted to come on, I think Dale's going to this Bama game too. So it may not be him either, but we're currently searching.
All right. We're with JP, who does the hosting of Off the Bench on the Ump in Huntsville on Saturday mornings, and apparently knows all that stuff off the top of his head, which is still blowing me away. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will take a break and be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like making common sense like a superpower. All right, we're going right back to the phones. We got JP here doing some sports. He hosts the morning show Off the Bench on up in Huntsville. And JP, remind me, what's the designation? What's the place on the dial if they want to time you in on Saturday morning?
103.9 The Ump from 9 to 11 on Saturday mornings.
Got it. Okay. All right. Well, I'll tell you what. Anything else on your list from this past weekend, or you want to look forward a little bit?
Well, there was the Georgia-Clemson game on Saturday.
Yes, there was.
The game of the week. And if you want to see for yourself the effect of the transfer portal, look at that game because, you know, Dabo notoriously refuses to use the transfer portal. He doesn't believe in it. He doesn't believe in buying players. But they got flat out out-athleted in that game. They did not have the athletes to compete with Georgia. I mean, look across the board whenever they were both on the field. You can notice the athlete difference. So, you know, if Dabo wants to keep doing this, Clemson's going to get impatient with him because if you want to do it, you got to prove you can win without doing it. And if you can't win without doing it, then there's going to be a problem.
Well, so, let me ask you something. I mean, Georgia would have been a game, portal or no portal. I mean, Georgia's a legacy program. They're big doings. So, do you think that would have been? Do you really think the portal is what really hosed Dabo on this?
Yeah, I mean, there's no reason for Clemson being the caliber program they are that players shouldn't want to go there. And if all he's got to do is use the transfer portal, there would be no shortage of people that would want to come to play for Clemson. And, you know, they still have some good athletes here and there that probably would have been good to go up against teams like Georgia pre-portal era. But the transfer portal, you can have elite athletes everywhere. And you saw that against Georgia. They just had much better – they had elite athletes going up against good or great athletes. So I think that was the difference in that game.
Okay, wow. Well, let me ask too, do you think so you mentioned that if he can't win by not using the portal, then it's going to be a problem. Do you think the shine's off the apple with Dabo, or is he still secure?
You know, they still have a chance to have a decent season this year. But if they're not even a threat to make the playoff this year, I could see some Clemson boosters and some Clemson fans getting impatient. They're already impatient with him. I mean, when he goes on radio shows, you know, up there, he doesn't even allow callers to call in anymore because he just gets dogged every time they allow callers to call in because they won't, they bash him without, he doesn't use the portal, doesn't use NIL. So, I mean, we'll see how this season goes. I think they'll give him this season. If he can make a push for the playoffs, that'll be different. But if they're not even in the run, it could be dicey for him.
All right. What's on your radar looking forward? What do you see? Like, what are the big dog stories coming up?
Well, still a lot of, you know, cupcakes, you know, for teams like Alabama. They're playing USF. But I'll look a step past this game for Alabama. I'm very interested to see, you know, them going to Wisconsin in week three because, you know, yeah, a lot of people, they're not really looking at that game as much as they should. I mean, I still think Alabama will pull out the win. I think they're a better team, but they're going into a hostile environment. It'll be DeBoer's first, you know, big road test at Alabama. So if they can get past this USF game squeaky clean, which I say that, they struggled to do that last year. But, you know, if Milroe's the guy now and there's no question their quarterback, they should get through UCF or USF pretty handily and looking on to Wisconsin. So I'm looking forward to see how DeBoer does his first road test at Alabama.
Okay, so for all the Bammers out there listening right now, how is DeBoer doing with Saban sitting in the wings? How's that going?
I think he's handled it very well. You know, I think some guys would come in at DeBoer's you know, he just played for a national championship. He's like 112 and 10 as a head coach throughout his career. You know, guys like him may come in and try to be the big dog and try to push Saban away and say, you know, this is my program, and kind of get an ego, you know, go on an ego trip. But he's been very complimentary, you know, taking Saban's advice whenever he needs it. And Saban also said, you know, whenever he calls, I answer for help. So I think he's done great on that part, utilizing an asset there, but also realizing this is his team. He's going to do his system. He's not going to try to do what Saban did, because nobody's going to live up to Saban. So if he can keep just doing his system that has proven to work, I think he'll be fine. But it looked from game one, he looks like he's not caving under the pressure at all. So I think he's getting an A+ for that so far. We'll see how he does the rest of the season.
All right. Well, so how's Saban doing as a game day guy? Is he surviving as a pundit, or is it wearing thin? What do you think?
He looks like he's having fun up there. Like, they put him right next to McAfee.
I know.
Which is kind of crazy. You know, I saw McAfee rip off his shirt and get all over him. But I think, you know, Herb Street was on McAfee today, I saw, and he talked about how much fun Saban's having behind the scenes and how in their, you know, preparation meetings before game day, he's taking the lead. He's, you know, taking ownership of it. So I think he's having a great time. There's a part of him that for sure wants to be on the sidelines. I have no doubt about it. But I think he's having a lot of fun being a part of game day.
All right, man. Well, listen, let us know who your picker is going to be, your guest picker is going to be for this coming Saturday. But in the meantime, thank you for lightening the mood for us a bit today.
No problem. I'll see y'all later.
All right, take care. That's JP calling in on sports. Host of the morning Saturday morning show on the Ump, and listen, what you just heard there was an encyclopedic knowledge of sports. I mean, that's he's just naming names and places and stats, and my gosh, I finally had to just break in and say, are you reading notes, or is this all on the top of your head? And it was all the top of his head. Anyway, that's impressive. I can't keep up with that. That's crazy. That's cool. All right, listen, we're going to be coming back after this break. We're going to switch gears and got to jump back on a serious topic. I can't help it. We're going to talk about fighting for our kids. We're going to talk about things that are happening out there that you look at and go, what is wrong with y'all that these are the things we have to fuss for and argue about? I mean, why is this a thing? As frustrating as the stuff is with the southern border, it's just as frustrating to look at what is happening right now with the left's incessant need to co-op our kids. And it's really sick if you get down to it, because what they know they're doing is they're grooming them to be the next liberal progressives. They're trying to grab hold early and catch kids while they're young and impressionable and in need of some affirmation, and they're doing everything but. They're basically indoctrinating kids at early ages and doing things to force the issue. And we got to fight for our kids. We got to. Absolutely. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.